All right, welcome back to RBKD. We're looking live, hanging out here at the South Congress HEB. It seems like it's a brand spanking new one. 8801 South Congress is where you need to come out to. Also, you can come out and sign up. Register to win Texas Tech tickets. That is at 11 a.m. kickoff, and we'll be pulling a winner of the Texas Tech tickets here. Looking for us, we're right by the True Texas Barbecue right here in the South Austin HEB hanging out, and we've just been gifted.
It looks good.
Some beautiful, delicious barbecue, and I love that they didn't put any sauce on it. As a true Texan, see, he understands this, all right? That is a choice as a Texan you make. He didn't dip.
I'm born and
raised.
And
it's a bit of an insult.
This is good.
For your first bite of new barbecue, for you to instantly put some sauce on it. You need to see, because you may not need the sauce. But if you do want the sauce, ain't nothing wrong with that. That's a preference, but it does look fantastic. And I'll say this, too. The ribs, I'm a rib man. When it comes to barbecue, the ribs is the first thing I want. Some people are brisket people. Some people are about the sausage. I get it. I'm about the ribs. If you ain't got ribs, don't offer me barbecue. I want ribs, and that's where I start my barbecue
some ribs,
experience.
Yeah.
That's what I appreciate. Some people try to just bring you, you know, the brisket, some sausage. You know, bring you a little bit of turkey. I appreciate that. The ribs, man. That is the main event.
I would have gone into the ribs, opinion. But I was going to eat on the air, so I just wanted to grab some turkey there.
Well, I'm challenged here because, you know, I don't eat food that I have to eat with my hands in public.
Yeah.
So I don't eat chicken wings in public.
You got forks right there.
I know, but do I want to eat ribs with a fork? Am I a sociopath?
No.
Come on. Have you seen somebody
I'll tell you what.
Ribs with a fork?
We'll let you go into True Texas. This gentleman will let you go in.
I might go in there at the table by myself
into the corner.
In the corner and eat because I want people to judging me.
We're going to have Trevor video it, though.
Don't you think it's very intimate when you eat stuff like ribs and chicken wings? Because it's a lot of smacking and – Man,
it is.
A lot of that going on.
I don't care, though. I love eating so much. Judge away.
You don't care?
I don't care.
You don't care who's looking at you?
No.
I think people are staring at me while I eat.
Stare away. I'm eating. You're not.
So I will enjoy. I'm not going to enjoy it now because if I enjoy this True Texas barbecue now, my mouth is watering, though, so I'm having a hard time speaking because it's really good and looks fantastic. So thank you very much to the True Texas barbecue folks. Now, you did say it's a bold strategy
to put
a barbecue joint in a grocery store.
It's bold.
It's bold strategy. In Texas.
In Texas.
If you did it in Idaho, you'd be like, oh, man,
you're
it'll
good
be
to go.
Barbecue joint in the state.
Yeah. People lined up. You lined up to get into HEB. No, I'm lined up to get into the barbecue place.
I don't give a damn about the groceries. I'll grocery shop while I get my barbecue. But no, it looks fantastic. It looks great. And the brisket looks moist. That's one of those words you don't like me to say. It only applies to brisket and a couple other things.
We need to cut
it
out.
It is moist.
We need to cut out the whole moist thing. And I'm guessing it was women. That seems to be 98% of the people that are adverse to that word.
Yeah, some people don't like it. It makes them uncomfortable.
It does.
I think Chad's one of those guys.
Your mind's in the gutter, though. That's what I tell them, not you.
Oh, I was like, my mind's not in the gutter. I'm talking about the actual brisket. It doesn't.
No, people that go, don't say moist.
You're right.
You're the one who's thinking about that.
I know. Yeah. There's some words, though, you only use when you're talking about certain things. It's unfortunate. Like the other day, you said erect.
Yeah.
And you were just talking about you standing erect.
Right.
And yeah,
it was riding my bike.
Riding your bike. You say, I'm erect.
I'll get erect.
You say,
yeah. No, that's exactly. KD. That's his fault.
Okay? Yeah, right.
You can't get away with that.
It's one of those words.
Which is why I don't wear bicycle pants.
You can't use it, but why can't you use erect any other time? don't use that word. It's like, that is a part of the English language.
Yeah, erect.
Yeah, it's like girth. Like, girth is one of those things, too. Like, people use it
now,
for certain things.
Now, if you use erect and moist in the same sentence... You're trying to lead them on.
Go for the trifecta.
Girth,
moist, and erect. All right. Let's get ourselves
on a bike
back.
Ride and got erect. And
all right.
Just a stretch.
Hello, all the people who are half listening at the HEB. How are you doing today?
Yeah. And realize my pants were moist.
All right. Moving on here. All right. Let's get to some sports talk here.
Did you watch last night?
Sidetracked. I did. Actually, I did. I DVR'd. I just had to go home and watch
it. That was
fun. Shout out to the Fire the Cannon ladies who had me
that
on
go?
The podcast.
I'm listening to that tonight.
Megan and Rocky and Hannah, they were fantastic. They were awesome. So we had a good time. Probably stayed up a little later than we needed to as adults. Had a good time, but it was great. So I didn't get a chance to watch all of it live. I got a chance to go back and watch it once I got home. And
Rocky opened up some wine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, oh yeah.
I got banana nut bread for you, in my car.
Well,
yeah. I brought it here because she gave me banana nut bread.
Huge.
Apparently, you're a big banana nut bread guy.
I am, and she remembers that.
That's weird. Yeah.
I love banana
apparently,
nut bread.
Yeah, I didn't want any banana nut bread. I had to decline, and she basically gave
It's not
me,
white.
It's not, but I'm not a banana nut bread guy.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
It was really moist.
And it is. It's good if it's moist.
It's very best when it's moist.
Yes.
Well, most things are. Who thought the Barbie, the brisket, and cake?
Hey, before we get to this game, I did see you. Was that a chameleon that you had?
Oh yeah, I had a gecko.
Gecko.
Yes, they their daughter, Rocky's daughter, owns a. I mean, she's like she loves reptiles.
Yeah.
She owns a snake and a gecko. And I think the gecko's name is
she's
Apollo.
She's an eclectic, cool kid.
Oh, she's an artist, too. She paints.
Yeah.
Oh, she's amazing. But, yeah, so it was basically – usually I wouldn't be holding random reptiles, but
– I was surprised when I saw the picture, I thought.
My brother owned a snake. My brother was big into snakes. He had an albino python.
You know I'm an animal guy. I never got the snakes. And there were athletes I knew at Jester. Like, yeah. There was a whole phase
right.
of guys that had snakes.
And you
go in there and it's
this.
Like,
yep.
Hey, we're going to feed it a rat. And I'm like, man
– yeah.
This takes me to my edge of being cool with pets.
Remember the movie? Was it Road Trip? Was that the movie where they had the snake?
They had
in
the
it?
Snake.
Yeah, that was around that time, right? And that's our time.
That's our generation.
People, those snakes and dorms right. were a big thing during our time, and I don't know why it's weird. All right, let's get to the game last night. It was thrilling in a lot of ways. 33-27 win for the Raiders. They stole a win from the Ravens, or the Ravens gave up a win, whichever way you want to say it. The Ravens blew a 14-point lead. How about this stat? It was the first time since 2004 that the Ravens blew a 14-point lead. First time in 82 games under John Harbaugh that they blew a 14-point lead to lose a game.
You know why that stat exists?
Wow.
Their defenses have been so good.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've got a good run game.
Once you're up 14.
So if I'm up 14
yeah.
and I've got a run game and a good defense, you're not coming back.
Now, against the Ravens.
No.
No way. I told you. Because you're right. They're pinning their ears back and you're throwing and they're
you're
running.
You're done.
They control the game. That was not the case. Two fumbles by Lamar Jackson. That's uncharacteristic of him. He's such an elite runner and so prolific. Those two turnovers, I think, may have come back to haunt him. And Derek Carr. I mean, you got to give it up for Derek Carr.
What did I say last week
about
Derek Carr?
Yeah.
I said Derek, and it was actually during the NFL roundtable. I said Derek Carr, because I was going through some of his numbers, Derek Carr is a lot better than we think.
We just don't watch him a lot.
We don't
we
watch
don't
him a lot.
We get to see him a lot.
And
I think
I'm
right
not saying
that.
he's elite, but he's on the higher end of the starting quarterbacks than most of us, including myself, before I really looked into it, would have thought.
Yeah. No, I'll give you – at least last night it looked like that. I was surprised. John Gruden is old school. And they threw the ball a lot. Josh Jacobs didn't run as much. I think he had, 10 rushes or something?
10 carries for 34 yards. And Kenyon Drake had 6 carries. Derek Carr threw 56 times.
And which, you know, and it goes back to what Kellen Moore did with Dak, right? We all said that was the smart play. The smart play was – yeah, you do need to abandon the run. Not only abandon the run, take it out in the backyard, shoot it dead, and bury it.
Yeah.
And just go with Dak. That was your best chance to win. Some people don't believe that, but I believe it's true considering you didn't have Zach Martin at the time in your circumstance. And I wonder if I go back and kind of break down the matchup between the Raiders and the Ravens, I wonder if that was just their best chance to stay in it and win it. And plus, considering they were down 2 touchdowns at one point, so they were in
hurry-up, two-minute
mode anyway. But that is I did not – listen, week one of the NFL, I'll give you a stat. And I can't believe it because I did the research, and hopefully my Clorox wipes didn't wipe out.
There were a lot of upsets.
Oh, more than you know. How about this one? Underdogs, week one favorites, 7-9 straight up. How about that?
That tells you something right there.
Underdogs won outright 9 times in the NFL. That is the most in the opening week in over 35 years.
What do you attribute that to? I mean, obviously with salary cap. Salary cap's been around forever now.
I don't know. I think there's still some impact.
COVID.
Like residual stuff from COVID. Yeah. I think it's got to be, man. Like it's because we're seeing it at the college level, college football, since 2006. All right, 2021, there have been the second most losses by ranked teams through 2 weeks in the season. Also, the second most losses by FBS teams to FCS teams through the first 2 weeks.
So it's at both levels.
Yeah, it's football at both elite levels.
Which
to me.
That's a great point. Getting back to there may be something to what we're dealing with just with.
I think it's something large. It's a
pandemic.
Macro issue. But I will say that Monday Night Football game, first overtime for a Week 1 Monday Night Football game since 1979. So the NFL, could this Week 1 have gone better for the NFL?
No, it could not.
It was an amazing
Week 1.
The
rich get richer.
It really was.
Think about the Thursday night game.
Oh,
think
my
about
God.
The Monday night game.
They were all great.
What was the Sunday night game? What am I missing here?
Rams. And that wasn't a great game.
But it actually was closer than it should have been.
It was closer than it should have been. And
for
at
a
least
lot of it.
You got a chance to see the Rams look impressive, which I think people were tuning in for. How does Matt Stafford look with the Rams? I don't know. The NFL, once again, I mean, it's the best reality TV show in America. I think it's maybe the best reality TV show in the world. And it proves it once again, ratings through the roof. So I will say this, though, about since we're, you know, just kind of going through – talking about the NFL a little bit, the Ravens. We both picked the Browns in that division with the Ravens.
Yep.
And now the Steelers are going to be better than we thought. I thought the Steelers would fall off this year. My assumption was that they would fall off. Behind the NFC West, man, the AFC North, once again, still competitive as hell. If the Ravens, I think the Ravens are going to still be a competitive group. Whether they're going to dominate the division or not, I don't think so. I think the Browns, that's their division to lose. But the Steelers are going to be competitive, and the Ravens are going to be competitive. That's going to be a really tough division once again. None of the Bengals will be a non-factor, but
they're going to be a non-factor.
They'll be a non-factor.
So even though he had two fumbles, what's the big question we've had about Lamar Jackson moving forward?
Whether he can stretch the field vertically and throw on when they expect him to throw, when he's in predictable passing down situations, can he still beat a team with his arm?
I thought he looked pretty good, especially early on in that game. I mean, he made some throws where he is taking that next step. Now, whether he can continue to add that up and be consistent, we'll see. But he was 19 of 30, only for 235, but had a touchdown, had a 98.6 rating. His issue, when he ran for 86 yards,
I know, that's him.
Was taking care of the football.
Yep, those fumbles. Like you just talked about, for the ball control formula that they have, those fumbles are devastating for their formula.
And he knew that after the game. How about the end of that game?
He was really ticked off about it.
So in OT, the Raiders – it looks like they may score, and boy, a lot of zero coverage with Baltimore. They were getting after them.
They played more zero than any team in the league.
Man,
yeah, they love it.
I mean, it was it felt Mickey Andrews, Florida State '96.
Yeah.
We're mugging every gap, and we are coming, and you're going to know
it.
That. And they did pay for
they
it.
They paid for it.
But it looks like they scored. They go to this is in overtime. The Raiders, they go to replay, and he was down, and. I'll give – so did you watch Peyton and Eli at all? Well, you were doing that
last
night. I did
not.
So, yeah.
But I would tell you this. I've seen enough to know that I would much rather watch Peyton and Eli on a Monday Night Football broadcast and whatever's being broadcast. And that's not even a slight to whoever's doing the game on the network. I don't care. Those guys?
Yeah.
Talking about – do you know what kind of nuggets they gave up? Oh, I got a couple of them. It's amazing.
It is a slight for the way ESPN has the crews they've had on Monday Night Football.
I'm still with you. Even no matter who they put out there, I'd rather listen to the Mannings talk football while they watch the game.
It was pretty good stuff.
Peyton Manning, he said in order for – and this is all stuff they admitted while watching the game. He said in order for a QB to call his own plays, you just have to act like the helmet mic doesn't work. He said you absolutely throw the equipment guys under the bus, but you get them good Christmas gifts, and they're cool with you.
That is fantastic.
So he's like, whatever the coach – he's like, what,
I didn't
coach?
Hear that one.
Just banging on the coach. I can't hear you. No, I got this. I got this. Guys, here we go.
I'm calling.
I love that kind of stuff, man. There's a fire alarm that went off during the broadcast. Just randomly cool. When Ray Lewis was doing it with him, too. So I think that was just a lot of really
Russell
cool
Wilson
things,
was
man.
Good.
They had Russell Wilson on there,
they
too?
They had Charles Barkley.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I didn't see the Barkley part, but they had a lot of different guys
that's
on
fantastic.
There. Yeah, no, I think that's definitely going to work. But anyway, so they're at the one-inch line, and they try and quarterback sneak a couple inches away, and he gets stuffed. And then on second down, Eli had said, and this is pretty basic football. I don't think this is split in the atom. But Eli said, obviously you don't go to a hard count on offense when you're an inch away, right?
Mm.
You have nothing to gain.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean.
You're right there. You're there.
So.
You're there.
They went to, I think, on two, and the rookie right guard jumps. So that takes him back to the five or six.
Leatherwood?
Leatherwood,
yeah.
Yeah. Alabama kid. Mm. And. So then they end up getting third down, and Carr throws a slant. Probably puts too much on it, but it goes right through the hands of the receiver, bangs off of a Ravens helmet, and then is up in the air, and a DB comes down with it. You're thinking, oh, my God. Jackson gets a little drive going.
And he fumbles.
and then the Raiders even messed that up. They took a delay of game So they I think they ran one play and said, screw it, we're putting Carlson out there. We're not going to mess around with this. He's got a big leg. He got us into overtime with a big kick.
Yeah.
Let him kick. And they got to delay a game. So then they had to trot the offense back out. I mean, even with the win, they didn't look like they had their S together.
Man, the Raiders trying to snatch defeat from the
jaws
of victory.
They really are. And so that's when you get back to another zero coverage. And I think the Ravens just thought, you know what, they're going to try and run here, try and get in a better spot for Carlson.
And they had
And
threw it off his back foot.
And they end up, you know, getting that zero coverage and tossing it down there.
Yeah. No, that was I that's one of those things where, you know, if I picked that game 10 times, I probably picked the Ravens 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
You know, but the Raiders had a, you know, they had a few things bounce. The ball bounced their way in a few situations, and that's all they needed to keep it close. So good for the Raiders. I'm not a big believer in John Gruden and what him and Mike Mayock are building there. I am a big believer in Bud Light, actually,
as you
guys know. Love me some Bud Light. As a matter of fact, you're here at the HEB, if you're here hanging out, or at your local grocery store, convenience store, pick up a nice ice-cold case of Bud Light. Make sure the fridge is stocked with it. It's football season. Nothing goes better with football than Bud Light. We got football 4 nights a week. We got Sunday night football, Monday night football, Thursday night football, and, of course, your college football Saturdays. And if you want to make your football festivities complete, you do it by breaking out the Bud Light. It's always a good idea to break out Bud Light. You want to be the life of the party, just bring more Bud Light to the party. Don't forget, you also can order Bud Light from Drizzly and have Bud Light delivered right to your door, a safe and responsible way to enjoy the sure sign of a good time. Bud Light is my choice, and it should be yours too. All year round, Bud Light is America's beer of choice and the world's favorite light beer muskrat.
Muskrat. This is a brand new one. It's been pretty good. This is gonna get to your rankings. I don't know where it's gonna get on your rankings.
I gotta tell you, right now it is pretty high on my HEB rankings.
Yeah, how's your scouting right now?
I gotta say it's up there. I mean, we only been to three, four HEBs so far this year.
Three or four.
I haven't written down somewhere, but I gotta tell you right now. They're leading. I mean, I think right now because we're not even at 5 o'clock yet. All right, we're not even at 5 o'clock, and we got free barbecue.
Yeah.
I got ribs I'm about to enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
So you are going to dig in here.
Oh, I'm going to grab one of these ribs and run to the corner and eat.
Unbelievable.
In the break, yeah.
What do you care about Derek and I looking at you?
Huh? Well, you're not the only ones around here. People's, that's a random citizen.
People aren't
going to
be watching you eating ribs.
Oh, they will be. I can tell.
Get some pictures and it gets posted.
Exactly, right?
You got stuff all over your face.
Got sauce on my cheeks. I got them. Yeah, that's not going to be me.
We are at HEB 8801 South Congress. It's Slaughter 35 South Congress. It's a brand new one. Really, really big. And we've got some true Texas barbecue as well. All right, let's get some one and done because, you know, a little bit of a quarterback controversy here in Austin, and we've seen a couple of those throughout the country. I've got them with both my teams, Notre Dame. See, Jack Cohn got pulled.
That's crazy.
And he came back in, dislocated his finger, and threw a game-winning touchdown to Michael Mayer.
I was like, yeah, he had the game-winning drive, so he got benched during the game.
But he got benched during the game.
So they pulled like a Spencer Rattler. Brian Kelly pulled the Lincoln Riley on him.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So we'll get into maybe a little bit of the Texas controversy, but there's one that has national implications. No offense to Casey and Hudson, but there's no national implications there right now. And they're going to be taking on the number one team in the country. I think this is an obvious call, but we'll see if Dan Mullen does that. We'll get into that in One and Done.
I like that 5-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here. And he's going to stay here. It's One and Done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One and Done time. Obviously, Texas fans, I can only imagine. I'm not on message boards, but I can only imagine they're going nuts on the message boards with the quarterback controversy.
I don't get on message boards either, and that's the reason I don't.
Yeah.
Not
only
a message
like
board
nine
guy
for me. But
I get it.
Yeah, no.
I
I can just tell with our text line and the post game text line and the calls we had.
People are angry.
My Twitter people and I. Yeah, I understand.
People
that
are angry even without this Texas game. So now, Lord, on top of everything that we're angry about anyway, now throw on that Steve Sarkisian had a wholesale failure on all levels.
You're only
Arkansas
adding to my anger.
Exactly.
Texas fans obviously talking a lot about that and who should be the quarterback. I think that was an issue. Hudson Card was not good, and even Sark mentioned how he was rattled. I thought Casey Thompson would be the guy all along because the offensive line was going to be garbage, and that has proved to be the case that he may not be. Look, if Sark had his ideal offense all set up, then Hudson Card would probably be his guy. We're going to get Ian Boyd on at some point because I know Ian is a big fan of Hudson Card and what Hudson can do.
I'm a big fan of Hudson Card, too.
I am, too. In the optimal offense, I think he would be set up. And by the way, remember, it's only his second start, too, right?
It is, and it's Casey's first start.
Casey's first start.
It'll be Casey's first start. Officially now, Hudson has more starts than Casey Thompson. I mean, Casey Thompson had to start a game since November of 2017.
Yeah, that's actually an excellent point, that we think of Casey as the veteran, and he is because he's been there longer. So he's going to be a little bit more poised. Yeah. But in terms of starts, he doesn't have that. One of the things you talked about, too, is sometimes you need to chase team leaders. And, you know, I'm not sure who that is for Texas right now. It wasn't just schematics. It wasn't just, I don't think the ceiling's that high, just cumulatively with the talent on this team to be that great of a team. But it was also, there was just a lack of leadership, enthusiasm, passion. I knew that was going to be a hornet's nest. Mm-hmm. And I think most Texas fans, you knew that, of a certain age, that was going to be a hornet's nest.
And we still might have underestimated it.
Yeah, I didn't. I knew it was going to be.
Well, you're a historian, but I think most people
still didn't think it was going to be that.
They kept just echoing what people like you were saying, people who actually knew, like, what it was going to be. It's going to be hostile. Jeff Howe told me he went there, and he said, it was an eye-opening moment.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is a crazy hostile environment.
They got fined $100,000 for rushing the field, but I had people tweeting me saying, can you believe they rushed the field? Absolutely.
Yeah, Craig Ray said he got confronted by some random fan that wanted to cuss him out.
No, that's
like, it's just, you know what I mean?
That's last time class. Did he get a pimento cheese sandwich thrown at him?
He had a cheese sandwich thrown at him last time, and this time he had a fan come cuss him out. It's just like they're confrontational and really.
You talk about angry.
Vitriolic.
Not happy with certain lots in life.
Yeah, so I think we did. You didn't. But most Longhorn fans underestimated how rowdy that hostile environment would be.
Here's the problem. The team wasn't prepared for that.
No, they were not.
They did not match what Arkansas. So they've got a bunch of 18 to 22 year old kids that really don't, you know, they don't like Texas because a lot of them are from Texas and they're playing at Arkansas. But they seem to really understand just what this was and what this meant to the fans. And they came out with their hair on fire, and Texas didn't. Texas is not that talented. Let me get that out there again for the 9 millionth time.
You've been
over 2 years.
Yes, I was saying, you won't give up that. Down that hill.
I'm going to die on that hill.
No matter what the recruiting rankings say.
That means they're probably going to win out, and I will be very happy to come in every day and say, I'm an idiot. I don't know football. I was wrong.
Most people are siding on it's a lack of development. You have time and time again said, no, I think it's a lack of talent. I think it can be both.
It's both. It's obviously both. You know me, I'm not a one thing made the milkshake type of guy in life. There are usually multiple components, and those two would be the biggest. I just don't think it's all development. I think that's a lot of it. I think some of these guys just were Jags and were probably overrated, the ones that were recruited highly. But it's not like they've been recruiting offensive linemen highly.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. They've been terrible. Well, they were terrible recently of Herb Hand in recruiting. But, man, you know, the stat out there that's a great stat, Jeff Howe throws it out there all the time, the last blue-chip offensive lineman that they turned into a draftable prospect was Justin Blaylock. So it's hard to recruit high caliber offensive linemen, blue chip offensive linemen, when as an opposing school to Texas or a rival to Texas, I can negatively recruit against you and go, you really want to go there as a blue chip offensive lineman? You realize the last blue chip O lineman that went there that was drafted was Justin Blaylock.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Facts.
Can I give you something here?
So,
since 2008, Texas has had three offensive linemen selected in the NFL draft, right? None in the first round.
Yeah.
You've given that a million times. During that span, Alabama had 19 offensive linemen drafted, including 8 first-rounders. Now it's Alabama, so you go, okay, well, our offensive line's been garbage. That's not shocking. Vanderbilt, during that time, had 6 players drafted since 2008.
Vanderbilt.
Texas, they've doubled Texas in offensive linemen drafted since 2008. There you go.
Wow.
Including one first round.
That's a hell of a stat right
there.
There
you go.
Whoa.
There you go.
That's
thanks to Mark Schlabaugh for that one.
That's ugly. Why'd you bring that up?
Because you just brought it up.
Bring down.
You just brought it up.
But you went deeper. You got Vandy out with better off than our offensive line situation. That ain't
doubling
good.
Up. That's just better doubling up.
They're academic school. They're not even trying to impress anybody.
Yeah, what the hell?
We're spending money to actually be good at football. Vandy doesn't
care. By the way, that's the conference we're joining in the worst team in that conference that we think is going to be a cupcake.
Some people think Arkansas is going to be 8-9 in the SEC. I mean, that is, I think their projection was that they were going to be
sixth in the SEC West.
Yeah, they're going to be supposed to be bottom of the barrel. I don't believe that.
I don't either.
I think Sam Pittman's doing a good job.
Especially with the way LSU looks. Haynes King out. We'll see what A&M
totally
does
agree.
With
yeah.
With
they got to play Arkansas in 2 weeks. That'll be a big test for them.
Yeah. Texas A&M's going to be much better set up with that defensive line than Texas.
That's the truth.
That could be a low, low scoring game and a game that flies by,
take
too.
The under.
Take the under.
Take the under.
All right, so Casey, Hudson, there are other issues outside of that, but I would roll with Casey. I think Sark's doing the right thing right now. Other quarterback controversies. Here's one that really, this could be a really fun game because you got Florida, Alabama this weekend, right?
Yep.
Alabama has won the last seven in this contest.
Wow.
Emory Jones, guy we talked about a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Emory Jones is not the guy who is going to beat Alabama. And I watched a little bit of Florida and South Florida. Emory was 14 of 22 for 151 yards, had a touchdown and two picks. His backup is uber talented. Muskrat.
Is he just
uber
younger?
Uber talented.
The backup?
Yes.
Okay.
Anthony Richardson, okay? And Richardson was a big-time talent coming in. Florida fans are begging to see him. We saw him a little bit. Against South Florida. Can I say peep? Peep these numbers. I can't say it like that.
You're 40-something,
yeah,
so it's weird.
I can't.
But go
it
ahead.
Is weird.
Throw it out there.
It is weird.
Peep this.
Peep this. Peep this, y'all. He had three passes in this game, okay? He's 3 of 3 for 152, two touchdowns, and no picks.
Okay.
Now, this is a 42-20 game. And Florida did lead. They did lead 35-3 at halftime. But in South Florida kind of came back in the second half. 3 of 3 for 152 and two touchdowns. He had four carries for 115 yards, 28.8 a clip, a long of 80, and one touchdown.
Wow. And why isn't he just the guy? They're trying to slowly transition
Dan Mullen's
him in.
Trying to slowly
okay.
transition
I get
him
it.
In.
I get it.
But
he knows the psyche of a young quarterback is fragile. We're worried about that right
he
now
does.
With Hudson Card.
He does.
We're worried
You're
about
right.
his, you know, the fragility of his psyche.
You're right. But if they've got any chance to beat Alabama this weekend,
it's got to be him.
It's not Emory Jones.
Yeah.
Emory Jones may get the start. It's going to be Anthony Richardson. Watch out, college football fans.
Wow.
This guy is electric, and this guy is fun to watch. This could be fun this weekend if Richardson gets going. Once again, 3 of 3 for 152, two touchdowns, four carries, 115 yards, a long of 80. And what type of quarterbacks have hurt Nick Saban in the past?
The dual threat quarterbacks.
Dual threat guys.
Those are the great equalizers.
They are.
He can't account for their dual threat ability on every play.
Anthony could be that guy. I'm not sure, and I'm pretty sure there's not a quarterback controversy, but Brock Purdy was 13 of 27 for 138. No touchdowns and three picks.
What happened to Brock Purdy?
He was never as good as we thought.
Nope. I think we all overhyped him. After that freshman year, we all assumed
pump fake Purdy.
He's got the natural assumption is, he's going to get better.
Yeah.
This is the starting point. He'll progress.
Program's getting better.
Yeah, and that didn't happen. The program got better as he regressed.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
His yards per attempt, and I mentioned this in the offseason, have gone down every year.
Yeah.
But he looked rattled. And so they bring in a lefty. Hunter Deckers, who is from Iowa.
Is he a freshman?
He's a redshirt freshman.
Man.
And he's a lefty. He was 11 of 16 for 114 and one touchdown. He had an 89.1 QBR. Brock Purdy had a 16.2. I would think they're going to stick with Purdy, but keep an eye on that. And what Matt Campbell does, we may see more of the lefty Hunter Deckers.
No, that's why Iowa State – it was not going to fulfill the expectations. We all said that, right? It was like, if Iowa State is going to be a national title contender, contend for the college football playoff, win the Big 12, it's because Brock Purdy is the best version of himself. Brock Purdy has been subpar at best.
Yes.
Average at best.
Yeah, he's been average at best. So a couple quarterback controversies to look at there. Really, really curious to see what Dan Mullen is going to do with his quarterback position. Because you got Alabama, you know he wants to win that. And one thing, getting back to Mullen, Mullen is thought of as a quarterback whisperer, right? We give him a lot of love. We give him love for Tebow when he was OC at Florida. We give him love for Dak Prescott at Mississippi State. But it's not a perfect record because he was forced. Remember how bad their offense was a couple years ago with Felipe Franks?
Oh, it was terrible.
And guess who he had on the bench?
Trask.
Kyle Trask.
Yeah.
Guess what forced him to play Kyle Trask? An injury to Felipe Franks.
I know.
So that was not him. You know, there was something he didn't see at practice with that. I think he knows what
That's
he has.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is. I think he knows what he has with Anthony Richardson. But if – and you're exactly right. You want to bring him along slowly. You don't want him to also get in this game. He's 6'4", 236 pounds, and can fly.
Man, like, he's from Florida.
From Gainesville.
Yeah.
Gainesville
Man,
kid.
He's from Gainesville.
From Gainesville.
Also, the crowd, the fans want him too then.
You know what number he's wearing?
What?
15.
Mm. Yeah, 15.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd give it a 10, but, yeah, 15 too. who wore 15 at Florida?
The GOAT. Oh, for Florida anyway.
Yeah,
Tebow. Baby. Did Tebow give him the okay to do that?
I don't know. I'm actually surprised they haven't retired that yet.
I was going to say, that is a good point. They
Isn't
haven't
there
retired
a statue out there?
He's like, that's like the most – you know that's the best-selling jersey in the history of college football.
That didn't surprise me.
It's the best-selling jersey in the history of college
football. That didn't
surprise me. Yeah.
All right, so take a look at that, and when you guys see Richardson, you can go back maybe even look at him on film a little bit. This kid is special.
I can't wait to watch him. I'm glad you gave me a little heads up on that.
Yeah. So there's your one and done quarterback controversies. They're all over the place. The Iowa State one's the biggest surprise, though. We thought there could be a Hudson-Casey Thompson thing back and forth. Florida fans were a little questioning Emory Jones and knew Anthony was a big-time talent. I didn't think that Brock Purdy was going to be pulled against Iowa. I thought Iowa was going to win for 2 weeks and win convincingly. I didn't think Brock Purdy was going to get pulled.
And as a statement, too, just because he wasn't pulling him to try to give him a chance to win.
No.
It was a statement that if you're going to play this bad,
you're out.
I can't allow you to stay on the field because you're hurting my culture. My culture is the best players play. And if you're not producing, you sit. He said him as a statement to the team.
Yeah.
That's worse to me than the benching of trying to give yourself an advantage or try to win. It's like, I got to make a statement. We're going to lose this game, but I'm going to gain some respect in the locker room by benching you.
And you're out. And it was 27-10. And, Iowa, we've talked about it. I mean, just like with Casey Thompson, probably a little bit more passive in the defense. Yeah. But the fact that they were able to he was able to still score a touchdown, and I gave you the QBRs. I mean, he played better than Purdy, although most people would have played better than Purdy. And Purdy, in fairness, he doesn't have a lot of help on the outside. They had one receiver out. Hutchinson had a couple drops. And their offensive line was just overwhelmed.
You're a senior at this point, though.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
Those are valid excuses. But at this point, I'm going to need you to find ways to overcome those.
Yep.
Because this is your team now. This is the most talented team in the history of Iowa State football.
Yeah.
And
they're not the best team in the state.
Wow. Well done. You're right.
True.
That is, you're right.
And by the way, that's not even close.
Iowa is a
much better team than Iowa
State.
Yeah,
that's a slap in the
face. Iowa State will get better. We'll see how all that plays out. All right, let's get to off the record. We'll stay in college football. Navy. Man, Navy not happy with their OC. They fire him and said, hey, can we talk again? We'll tell you up next.
D.D. Mega doo-doo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain bag comb.
Congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Welcome back. RBKD, time for another edition of Off the Record. This is a strange story. Inside of Navy, it's about Navy football. So Navy had a very disappointing loss. They lost to Air Force on Saturday, 23-3. And apparently the performance by the Navy offense was so bad that the head coach, Ken Numi, is it Nui Muatualoalo?
Close.
What is it?
I honestly, I've never really gotten it right.
Okay.
So, I can hear it and know it, but it's a tough one.
Neumatolo.
There's a lot of vowels.
Yeah, I probably screwed that up, but I mean,
Vanna, I'm going to be losing some money.
He, right after the game, was very upset about their performance offensively And the AD from Navy confirmed that they made the decision to fire the offensive coordinator, Ivan Jasper, right after the game. It was that type of performance, in his opinion. It was that bad.
Only 3 points, obviously.
He wasn't happy with the way things transpired, and he's the leader of the department, says athletic director Chet Glatchuk. And he says Jasper is no longer with the program. And the next day, basically, well, I take it back, not even the next day. It's like the same day, later that day, the head coach of Navy basically went to the media and told them that Jasper was back on the staff.
What?
After being dismissed from the staff after the game, that he was now back on the staff, and that basically the coach had reconsidered, and he said, quote, "We have a better chance if he's with us. Losing him was not the right answer."
So good, he got for him, actually.
Fired right after the game and then rehired later on. I guess the coach figured I was hot-headed there. I probably lost it. You know, let me recalibrate here. Maybe I acted a little harshly, a little rash.
Yep.
Let me walk it back. Stuart Mandel tweeted, "The strangest thing about the Navy situation, the AD, head coach, and OC have been working together for 20 years. They've been together. So this is like BFFs getting into it.
This was a blow-up.
This was
an emotional blow-up. You wake up the next day and you go, I got pissed off.
I didn't mean it.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it. It's like you and your...
I meant some of it, but I didn't mean to end the relationship.
It's like, yeah, no, it's like you and like a best friend or a sibling getting into it. Y'all know each other for 15, 20 years.
Exactly.
It's like, man, you know I didn't mean that. I apologize. I said some hurtful things
that
I didn't really want to say. You know how I feel about you. We cool like that.
No doubt.
So I think that's probably what happened. It does. The AD.
I've run into people, I'm sure you've had this too, where you end up, not being friends anymore, but you run into them as you get older, and you're like, "Hey, what's up, man?" You know,
yeah.
And sometimes you even actually become friends again because you're older, yeah. You're wiser, and you've kind of gotten over the emotional part of it.
So they're working together for 20 years, and Stuart Mandel claims the AD is the one that fired him. So he claims that it wasn't the head coach, that the AD is the one that overreacted and fired him. And then the coach was the one that had to go back, walk things back, and then rehire the coach.
Yes.
Either way, it's ugly, but...
But that's weird if the AD did it and then Nui Amanembala...
Talolo. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Then if he's got to say, all right, I wonder what his influence was on the AD actually.
They're obviously all really close.
Yes.
They've been there that long, and I bet he...
And Ken played there, too.
Yeah, so exactly. I wonder what the history is of the AD. Probably, I don't know if he probably went there or something, too. They seem like they're really entrenched. Hey, man, overreacted. It happens. You get hot-headed. It happens. Trust me.
The midshipmen.
It happens to me all the time.
They've actually been really good under him.
And oh, no, he's a hell of a coach.
They're 0-2 on the year. They've been outscored Marshall and Air Force by a combined score of 72-10. This is not going to be a great Navy team, which means they'll beat Notre Dame.
Yeah. Well, you think so. Are you
I'm just down on the
Irish. Oh, I'm going to say, man. Really?
Talk about an emotional take like we just said, right?
I was like, but you know what? It could happen. Navy is one of those schools where you're really never surprised when they pull that type of an upset.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise you. You go, well, that's Navy, man. It can happen.
I did see a weird gambling stat over the weekend. So anytime any of the armed forces play each other, so Navy, Air Force, and Army, anytime they play each other, 39 out of the last 49, the under has won.
Defense.
Take the under.
Yeah,
take the under.
Yeah, they're about physicality, defense. I'm not surprised by that at all.
Emotional games, which can help out defense a lot.
No doubt the crowd's really into it. Yeah, it's one of those games where the crowd stays hyped the entire time. Yeah, I can see that. No question. That's a nice little stat. I like that for all you degenerate gamblers out there.
All you degenerates out there.
Take that and run with it. By the way, my man, Katie's been on it lately. For his picks with Beat the Pluck.
Dealing it.
You're right now.
Dealing it.
I don't know how long this little hot streak's going to last.
I don't either.
But you've been.
Let's
you've been
ride it.
You've been on it lately.
Yeah, let's ride it until it gets cold. I got off to a 6-0 start against Dave last year. I'm hoping to do the same thing. Because it allows you, it's like getting out to a big lead.
Oh,
it allows me to play around
the
Beat the Pluck.
Yeah,
and go,
take
you know
some
what?
Chances.
I'm just going to go with my gut here,
mm-hmm.
Not my eyeballs.
Yeah, go with the gut.
Go with the gut.
Sark goes with his gut a lot. Bubble guts versus Arkansas.
Sometimes you should go with the eyeball or have backup plans set up for that as well. All right, we're at HEB 8801. Lots of people stopping by. We love that. Come say hi. We're registering people for a pair of tickets for Texas and Texas right. Tech. Obviously, Texas has Rice this weekend, and then they will have Texas Tech the following weekend. Hopefully, they can. Hopefully, people will show up at DKR. They're supposed to work there. and the fans.
The fans will show up. Hopefully, some of the workers show up as well. Tip them better. Maybe they'll show up.
Right.
Can you tip them?
I think you can tip them.
I don't think you can because everybody pays like cars and they just swipe and move.
500 part-time employees?
500.
That seems to be
that's a lot.
A group effort, too. That's not 500 people that overslept.
You think they organized?
I mean, 500.
It's a lot.
You're saying, right. You know?
That's a lot. That's
you know
a lot.
What?
Or we're a scheduling problem or a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
It could be that, too, John.
It could be a scheduling problem. Because yeah, they contracted out, so it could be that, too.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll pay them more. So
yeah.
To guarantee they show up. Maybe they get a show-up bonus.
Hey, some of these
a
people,
bonus just to show up.
You get, some of these people that aren't working, I do get it if they're in an industry where it's like, you know what, we're not getting paid the wage that you should in this industry. So, yeah. I mean, it's not like the whatever 10 million open jobs and 8.1 that don't have jobs that all – that math isn't always just going to say, well, they should be getting a job right now.
Well, now companies have to pay competitive wages. Or you're not going to get any employees.
You're not going to get any employees.
Other companies have been forced to pay competitive wages.
I saw that at a 7-Eleven I went into.
Everywhere now.
It was like, we're going to give you this bonus if you sign on the spot.
Yep.
We're giving you this.
You can work only 4 days a week, and you can work from home, and all this. Oh no, it's all kind of stuff going on. Yeah, all types of incentives.
On Tuesdays when you leave, hit the chocolate section on us.
Free Slurpee on Monday when you come in.
Slurps whenever you want. Slurp while you work.
Slurp while you work.
That's a T-shirt right there. Slurp while you work.